Come. I lead the songs. I don't even make people stand up when you sing like we do in the morning. So you can just sit there and sing and hear the word of God and grow and be blessed. Tim Franklin used to be a member here, Tim and Marilyn Franklin. He's been a pastor. He's been a youth pastor. He's kind of retired, but he's like our interim evening service pastor for the next 2 weeks, and it gives a little title of his Sunday evening service. This Sunday, tonight, is the foundation and founders of Sunday school, from a book by Elmer Towns. Next Sunday night, Tim will be here too, because Pastor Mike will still be on vacation. How to remember everything you study. So you don't want to miss that. He said that's guaranteed. So, and you have your regular Sunday event schedule, and we have a list of email addresses. If you're not on our prayer request, email prayer request, you can send Vondell or Judy Overreiner your email address, and they'll put you on that list, and you'll get all the email updates. If you have announcements for the website or the bulletin, that's me, I'm on here. Judy Overreiner does our newsletter. She hasn't been here in quite a while. She has some physical issues, and it's hard for her to walk and get around. But she's a prayer warrior, and she tries to do the best she can with the monthly newsletter. So let her know. Maybe send her an email and say, Judy, thank you for doing the email and some of the prayer requests. Encourage one another. Let's go to the Lord and ask his blessing. Father, we thank you, the King of all the universe, the Holy, the three times holy God, would meet with us here today. Your word assures us that where two or three together are gathered together in your name, that there you are in the midst. So thank you, Lord, for blessing us with your presence today. We ask you to work in our hearts. We ask you to fill Taylor with your Holy Spirit as he delivers the message that you've laid on his heart for this flock here at Calvary. Lord, when we think of your holiness, we just ask you to do a work in our hearts, each of us. Make me a better witness for you. Make me a better servant of yours. Help each one of us to be the church today and forever as we leave this place today, that we're the church. Use us, Father. Bless Pastor Mike and his family as they're away. We pray especially for Todd. That you'd help him with all of his physical infirmities, and that you'd keep him safe in the palm of your hand. We pray for Sonia, struggling with that broken wrist. Pray that you'd give her comfort, relief from the pain. And that, Lord, it would be a time of refreshing, not just being away from us, but being together in that environment down there in Florida, enjoying your nature, enjoying one another. Bless them. Give them travelers' mercies when they return. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We invite you to stand with us. Oh, we have a slideshow. Sit back down. It wasn't in the bulletin.
Almighty God we serve. One Almighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him, heaven and earth adore Him. One Almighty God we serve. One Almighty God we serve. One Almighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him, heaven and earth adore Him. One Almighty God we serve.
We thank you for the privilege of being here this morning, Lord, to worship you. We thank you that for those that has chosen to be here to do the same this morning. We pray for each one, pray that they'll be blessed. We ask you to be with the preacher as he imparts your word to us this morning, Lord. And we want to pray for our pastor and his family as they are traveling. No doubt they're en route still to Florida. Be with them, God, as they spend some time down there to be refreshed and give them safe travels back there and back. And we pray, Father, also for our nation. We pray for your chosen people, Israel, God, that you will protect them against all enemies. And I know that you'll do that. I have full confidence that that will happen. So be with us, God, as we attempt to worship you this morning, God. Bless each one. Bless the offering. Use it for your glory. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
stand and join us?
Ask ye what great things I know, that delight and stirs me so.
You guys have been seeing a lot of me lately, haven't you? Been up here more often. Thank you. Somebody likes it. At least one of you. I want to do something a little different. So next week, I'm preaching next week as well. And I don't have anything in mind. So what I want to do, we've set a little plastic tub of, I don't know what you'd call it. But I want you guys to take your bulletins or one of the little envelopes and just rip a piece of paper off there. Write down a topic that you'd like to hear a sermon on, and I'm going to look through them all, and I can't guarantee I'll choose yours or choose any, but I figured this was a good way to get some inspiration for a topic, and maybe if we had a few of the same, then that would highlight a need that needs to be spoken on. So yeah, if you could do that at some point just before we leave, like I said, rip off a piece of paper, write a topic idea, drop it in that on the very back pew. It's just a clear little bowl, bucket. Yeah, there we go. I'll say a bunch of big words today, but I couldn't think of bucket. Okay, yeah, so let's go ahead and say a prayer. dear God, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for this. We thank you for the church, for this church in particular, God. We thank you for what you do in our lives constantly, day to day. And we pray that while we're here in this short little time that it would edify us, God. And I pray that you would give me the words to speak and that I would glorify and honor you. And I just pray that these words be a benefit of those to hear, God, and that your wisdom be seen in these things, God. So please just give us discernment and guidance, especially as we navigate a very prominent topic today. And so we just pray all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I feel like I'm forgetting to say something else. I don't. Anyways. Okay. So what's... I didn't know if it was up there. I gave it to him. There you go. All right. So what's the saying? They say, don't talk about politics and religion, right? That's what they said. Well, today we're going to talk about both of them. Obviously, when you come into a church, you sign up for the religious aspect. Politics, not so much, right? I think some pastors do more, some do less. And I think so long as they're in bounds of what's appropriate, I think it's perfectly acceptable to talk about. And I think given the cultural climate of today in America, with an election coming up, and just with the way things are so polarized, I think, you know, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't say at least a thing or two on the matter. And like I said, I know how polarizing of a topic this can be, so I want to cover my bases by starting with a long list of disclaimers and qualifiers in my typical Taylor fashion, so that we can be clear on what it is I'm saying and what it is I'm not saying. If you've heard me here enough, you know I do that. It's just because lots of times people can take a small thing and make it into something you're not saying. So I want to be clear about what it is I'm trying to say. Honestly, I would imagine, although I said, you know, politics can be a controversial topic, for the most part, I would think that there's not really anything controversial here in what I'm saying. This is probably a reminder to most of you, but I think it's a good reminder to have right now as we continue to get into this political season. And so to start that, I have listed here, let's look at Romans 13, 1 through 7. I don't know if, okay. I'm not reading the King James because last time that felt like I was reading Shakespeare. So, all right. Every person is to be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a servant of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword with nothing. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a servant of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Pay to all what is due to them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, respect to whom respect, and honor to whom honor. So I lay all that out as a really just to say, so there's a lot of meat on that bone. There's a lot of things that we could talk about just on that. You know, maybe that's a sermon idea for next week. But the point there in reading that is just to make it clear. So, you know, I'm operating from a framework that that the Bible's clear that these ruling authorities, you know, they serve a great good to our society, right? And God tells us to be subject to our governing authorities. Now, there are limitations to that. But again, for this sermon, Right? We need these governments, we need these systems in place, or else, you know, the world would be chaotic, right? There'd be anarchy, and it'd be a terribly dangerous place to live. And so, all I'm really trying to do from here is caution us all to make sure that we keep Christ above our politics. And so, I know for some of you, perhaps probably most of you, you know, politics has been, you know, just a major part of American life, and it still is. My parents were never too invested into politics, at least not so much that I could tell. And so I've kind of grown up alongside with that. I've kind of grown up in this era where the internet era, and my generation has grown to not have a lot of trust for the media. And so when you think that you're getting spun a narrative from one side or the other, it just makes sifting through all this political stuff kind of difficult. So really, politics has been of almost no interest to me in my life. And so my position here this morning is that I'm on neither side, right? I really have no dog in this fight. I'm neither Democrat nor Republican. In fact, I think the good majority of them are all crooks, right? I've got a pretty cynical view on the matter. Of all the views I hold, my view on politics is probably the most cynical. And so I'm sure you could argue with me that, you know, I need to be more invested, and perhaps that's true, but we all only have so much time to commit our lives to certain things. And so the point here is that I don't need to be a political mastermind to give the message that I'm going to give, right? I say all that just to put my cards on the table and to relieve any ideas that, you know, that I'm preaching this message with, like, secret ties to one party and that I'm trying to sway you know, you to vote one way or anything. It couldn't be further from the truth. And so given this, given my sort of disdain for politics as a whole, you know, I think I'm a good candidate to talk about this from a more neutral or objective standpoint. To be totally honest, like I said, I'm fairly ignorant on most political policies and ideology. But again, the message I'm putting forward requires no expertise on any sort of political ideology. It only requires my Christian theology. And so I want to look at a couple specific topics here, and I just want to caution us against two things, really, against mixing our political beliefs with our Christianity to form this sort of weird hybrid political Christianity, as well as cautioning against putting our political passions just above our kingdom passions, right? Making sure that we keep that hierarchy in check. You know, there's just too many instances of brothers and sisters in Christ, whether it just comes in the form of, on a small scale, friends or family, or whether it's in the church, but it happens all the time, of fellowship being broken as a result of differing political views. And so this would be the mistake, right, of elevating politics above your faith. The most foundational belief that any Christian holds, that you or I, the most foundational belief we have is our faith in Christ, and absolutely nothing should come before that, period. The Bible is clear that Christ is to be Lord of our lives, not politics or anything else. So if we're all operating from a framework of Christ first, then we should be pretty safe. Christ is the thing that unites, not the thing, Christ is the person, the thing that unites Christians above all else. So to take a political belief and use that as grounds for breaking fellowship with another Christian is just wrong. You are a Christian first, and you are a Democrat, a Republican, an Independent, whatever else, second. There is enough dissension in America today, as we can see, turn on any news channel, but we, the people of God, cannot fall victim to this same fate. The more disunity there is in the body of Christ, the less effective the church will be, the less effective we will be in evangelizing. And politics is one of those few things that just really has the power to cause great strife amongst people, including believers. And so this message is a caution and it's a warning against that. We should all remind ourselves 10 times a day, right, that not everybody's going to agree with us, and we need to learn to agree to disagree. This is not to say we can't have, again, if you've heard me preach enough, you know I say this similar things, you know, when we were talking about the secondary doctrine a couple weeks ago, because it's just a really important point here is that how we deal with one another is so important. And so, again, we can have strong feelings and thoughts or ideas. Politics can be a passion of yours, and you can engage in passionate discourse with others and with hopes of trying to convince them of your ideas. I'm open to ideas. You can convince me. The fact of the matter is, though, we just have to be accepting of the fact that we aren't always going to convince others of our views. And somebody having a differing view from us doesn't make them less than. It doesn't make them, we should harbor any hatred for them or you know, get into this sort of tribalistic mindset that, well, they're over there, I'm over here. As Christians, we are in one place and we are in Christ. And so it really just means that at the end of the day, we must be able to agree to disagree and to not let our political ideas ruin our relationships with other Christians or to ruin our relationships with other people that we're hoping to witness and bring to Christ. So when Jesus was being questioned by Pilate leading up to his crucifixion, he responded by saying this. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." And so this is kind of the crux of this whole debate, right? This should help you frame what it is I'm trying to say, or the main point. Our kingdom as established by Christ is not of this world, so it will not be built up or maintained through worldly systems and means, such as a political party, right? This is the church's job. You know, things like faith, regeneration, justification, sanctification, and glorification. These are things that are supernatural workings of the Spirit of God. We should all be able to get on board with this idea, right? That this should be our starting point. And when we do so, we can better identify and handle our differences in our political beliefs. You see, if Jesus himself, who had the power to do so, if anyone did, if he had the power to do so and he didn't set up a political system or make himself king, which is what many of his followers wanted and encouraged him to do, then it must be the case that it's not of at least first importance. Again, I'm not saying it's of no importance, but it's not of first importance. So turning to another verse here, Matthew 22, 17 through 21, it says, "Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus answered of their malice. But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God." So it seems here pretty clear what Jesus is doing. He's drawing a distinction between earthly kingdoms, right? In our case, these governmental systems and agencies ran by mostly worldly men, especially in the case of the context of this verse. Caesar was a pretty wicked, horrible man, and so he's acknowledging Caesar, this earthly kingdom is a thing, and he's making a distinction between his heavenly kingdom, right, the spiritual, the invisible kingdom. And if so, then this makes no room for mixing the two, right? If that's what he's doing, if he's drawing a hard line, then it makes no room for us to mix these two together, which is what we're going to kind of look at next. So the evil, vile, and demonic ideas of the left or Democrat are pretty, they're obvious and apparent. Pastor Mike rightly points those out all the time. We don't even need to talk about them. You know, the abortion, the transgender ideology, which, little caveat on that, I want to make sure, as horrible and wicked and vile, terrible of an idea as that ideology is, remember to, we want to attack ideas, not people. So we still, as a church, need to do a better job of trying to meet those people where they're at in the LGBTQ community. Yes, it's wrong, it's sinful, but we need to also show them the love of Christ. But the ideology itself is evil and wicked. We can all agree on these things. Now, on the other hand, there is a sort of a, it's more subtle, right? There's a more political or cultural Christianity that is very prevalent in today's climate, and this is taking place more on the right side. Some of these right-wing pundits, they sort of prop up Christianity as a way to just pander to their demographic, but they don't have any real connection to the Christian faith. They sort of claim Christianity because of what it does for them politically, but not for what it does for them spiritually, because they're not concerned with that. And this we should be very concerned with as well, because They're essentially hijacking the name of Christianity, and they're making it mean something that it doesn't. Not all of them. I think in America we have a lot of babes in Christ, and babes in Christ are easily swayed because they aren't firmly rooted in the truth. And so this makes many Americans susceptible, American Christians susceptible to this errant form of Christianity because of its prevalence. A Christianity that emphasizes being part of a club that stands for some sort of, you know, generic moral values, rather than a Christianity that emphasizes sin and a Christianity that emphasizes Christ's death and resurrection. You see, a counterfeit version of something is often more dangerous than a version that is just openly and obviously diametrically opposed. Because on the one hand, you at least see clearly what you are up against. You see, Christianity, though, is all or nothing. We don't have the luxury of sympathizing with almost Christianity. Christ is our King, and He calls us to serve Him and to serve Him truly. We would be wrong to turn our heads to something that undermines His very name just because it comes in a similar-looking package. A watered-down version of Christianity dilutes its power by making Christianity a social identifier as opposed to a radical new way of living where we seek to serve God and serve others. It's almost like when a Christian says, you know, I'm a Baptist or I'm a Lutheran or Presbyterian. Those are just sort of extra qualifiers to that are more subservient to this more fundamental belief we have, which is our Christian faith, right? And in this case, though, Christianity becomes almost an extra qualifier that is more subservient to their more fundamental belief, which is their political ideology or party. So I suppose the takeaway here is simply to caution Christians of falling prey to this sort of political version of Christianity, because it's not true Christianity. Christ cannot be found in any one political party now, or He could not be found in any one political party ever, because politics entails a worldly system being run by mostly worldly men. When Christ reigns in the new heavens and new earth, although He will have all the power under heaven, He will rule not through power over people, but through love for people, because our love will be perfect in Him. This is a system that cannot be attained in this life, because we are not yet with our King. So while we wait, let us be careful to not try and build up an artificial version. Mankind is not unsusceptible to idol worship, even Christians. And it creeps in through the cracks very slowly. So let us not fall victim to this. Remember the story of the golden calf? You know, Moses goes up to Mount Sinai and, you know, just having been led and freed, and after being away for some time, he comes back to see that the Israelites have already gone back to worshiping an idol. They make this golden calf to worship. It's a false god that they create in their own image because they want something to worship. Even the natural man wants to worship something and wants to fashion for themselves a sort of god. It's just kind of innate. It's built into us. This is why idolatry is so prevalent throughout human civilization. Fallen man, due to his sinful desires, takes things that are not God and places them in the place of God. And so I fear this is, and will continue to happen in America with politics. So let this not be us. You know, we long for a king, a true king, but he will return at his choosing. Our job in the here and now is to witness to others God's love for them through the preaching of the gospel and through the way we treat others. So final remarks here would be, go out and vote or don't. You must honor your convictions before God. In whatever you decide, make sure what you are doing, you're doing it with Christ at the center of your mind. And with the intent to lift up His name and to build up His kingdom. Dear God, we pray, thank You for this opportunity, God. We pray that You would give us wisdom and guidance and discernment as we approach this political season, God. We pray that You would give us wisdom to do what is best for the country and best for one another, and that's going to be most conducive for glorifying Your name and preaching Christ. But God, we just pray that You would also remind us of the fact that there's only one King, and our utmost trust can only be placed in Your Son. And that we would find peace in that regardless of what happens in this world, regardless of what happens here, that we have a hope and a peace that transcends anything that happens, and that we can always keep our mind set on you, God. And we just pray all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
You're invited to stand.
Sore are you weary and troubled, no light in the darkness you see. There I for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Wonderful praise, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Well, you're all invited to come back this evening, 6 o'clock. Enjoy a message by Tim Franklin. He's a very good teacher. He was a youth pastor for quite some time, and so he has a lot of knowledge about Sunday school, let me tell you that. But we're glad you came this morning, and I'd like to just close in prayer. Father, thank you for meeting with us this morning. Thank you for hearing our prayer. Thank you for loving us any way. Thank you for loving each one that's here today. Thank you for loving sinners. Help us, Lord, to be that light in this world. And we do pray for our nation that we might be sold out to you. We pray for your church here in the United States that it would be on fire for you, reaching the lost for you. We pray for this world that's on fire. So much hate, death, war, killing, murder. It's the same as it's been since the beginning of time. Lord, help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.